I grew up in a discouraging environment where I was often compared, criticized, and humiliated. People's words crushed my spirit. Our finances were no source of security at all. Since my father was a self-employed electrician, what comes in usually lasts for a day or two only. As a result, my brothers and I learned to restrain ourselves by not spending much if there really is something to spend, and by not demanding anything from our parents. There was a time during college when I went to school with 20 pesos in my pocket, just enough to get me there. The moment I set foot in the school premises, I literally had nothing to spend. I had no choice but to skip meals and walk my way back home, a distance that can be covered in an hour and a half. At an early age, I had envisioned and resolved to lift my family from this situation. I studied in a public school when I was in grade school and became a scholar for the most part of my academic life, in an exclusive school during high school and in the Ateneo when I went to college. I devoted myself to ACADS, fueled by a struggle for significance. I was convinced that I was the one who pushed myself up, given that my parents were spared from spending hundreds of thousands for my education. I became proud. I stopped consulting my parents regarding my plans. I would not ask permission. I would just inform them about my decisions. I was disobedient, impatient, and irritable. I would shout at them in disrespect whenever they ask questions, questions that for me are too simple to ask. At the back of my mind, I was thinking I knew better than them. I would curse them in my mind, make faces, and grumble whenever they reprimand me. I would not usually invite them to school activities because I was ashamed of them. I had caused them excessive sorrow and pain that made both of them cry not once. As the eldest and the only girl among four, I abused my position to manipulate my brothers. They experienced the full magnitude of my violence, both in speech and in actions. I would curse, insult, and criticize them. I would punch, pinch, scratch, and throw things at them. I was my brother's worst nightmare. In fact, they used to call me Bruja. I questioned God's wisdom then. I despised how He made me and where He had placed me. I thought it would be better if they weren't my parents or if I were not born to our family. But God did not leave me this way. In 2003, my mother was invited to the Purpose Driven Life Seminar. We started attending worship services in CCF after that, but my commitment was half-hearted. I was exposed to the gospel, but I did not really understand it. In 2005, I attended a youth retreat in CCF Marikina. That was the third time the gospel was shared to me, and it was where I fully understood and embraced what God did to save me. I learned that I was created to spend eternity with God, but because of sin, I was separated from Him. I was a sinner bound for hell, and no amount of good works and high grades can compensate for the penalty of my sins. But God, in His love for us, gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, the only person qualified to take our place. He died for our sins once and for all in order that He may bring us to God. But the grave could not contain Him. He rose on the third day and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. This is the hope that we have. If we put our faith in Jesus, we also shall live in eternity with Him. To accept or reject what He freely gave is our choice. I accepted this free gift of life, and for the first time, I experienced love in its perfection, one that is never earned by performance. I have found real security. Since then, the cross has gradually transformed my life in ways unimaginable. A new life with Him put to death my old self. I hungered for His word and thirsted for His presence. The more I came to know Him, the more I came to see myself the way He sees me. He showed me what I am worth. That is significant enough to cost Him the life of His Son. The more I see His greatness and holiness, the more I am humbled to be considered His child. He started transforming me into the likeness of Christ, and He started this work in the most challenging place, at home. God changed my attitude toward my parents. I became expressive and affectionate in words and in actions. I learned to say thank you even for the smallest favors. I love you every time I have the chance to say it, and sorry whenever I offend them. I submitted to their God-designated authority. I would choose not to talk back or to grumble. I learned to honor them by asking permission and by respecting their decisions. God taught me how to be patient, especially to my brothers. They would often hurt me by disobeying or disrespecting me, but I would opt not to respond negatively. I learned to weigh down my words before speaking, evaluating which words would build up and which ones would tear down my brothers. I started to invest in my relationship with them in terms of time, effort, and money. I gained the trust and favor of my parents. They also became expressive in their affection. My brothers also started responding to me in love. We stopped fighting over menial things. They would willingly obey me. They would respect me out of love, not out of fear. They would spend time with me talking about their smallest concerns. I became deeply involved in my family's life. When God called me to work full-time here in CCF, I wrestled with Him, for I was plagued with insecurities over my job and my family's finances. But God's call was irresistible. He told me He doesn't deserve leftovers. He requires excellence, and that if I'm able to do it, why not do it for Him here? He invited me to give not out of surplus, but out of poverty, to put in all I owned and all I have to live on. By this time, I knew that I would be missing out on His best if I refused to obey Him. Time and again, God proved Himself trustworthy. I never lacked any good thing throughout my stay here in CCF. I am able to help finance the education of my three brothers and help out in household expenses. He blessed me with the work that I truly love and is consistent with how He shaped me. God wanted me to honor Him by trusting Him. He says in Isaiah 48:17, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. As a father, He will only prepare the best for His child. I am assured that my future is secured in His hands. I trust His wisdom in carefully crafting every detail of my life. I am grateful for how He created me and for where He had placed me. He definitely knew better than I. I am Joan Tapar, God's victory on the cross. To God be the glory.
Praise God. Let's give God another clap offering. By the way, this is a reminder of what CCF is all about. Our mission. Everybody, what's our mission? Look, our mission. Make disciples. Make committed followers of Jesus. And that's exactly what happened to Joan. Somebody invited her mother. Somebody invited her. Her life began to change. And she became a follower of Jesus. And now she is serving the Lord. That's the meaning of a disciple. So that's the whole purpose of CCF. We don't exist for ourselves. We don't gather here on Sunday to entertain ourselves. We are here to hear the Word of God, to be energized. On Monday to Saturday, we go and share the good news, have people come to know Jesus. So this is what CCF is all about. Make disciples. Will you tell your neighbor, our mission is to make disciples. So to make disciples, we have training programs. So we ask you to join our training programs. To make disciples, we teach people how to become friends. You need to relate to people. Without relationship, it's hard. This morning, I want to welcome all of you. Will you turn to each other and say, welcome. Welcome to CCF. Welcome. And to those who are in the overflow room, I want to say, welcome. Welcome. And to those who are watching us in the internet, welcome. Good morning, Paul. My son is watching us in the hospital room. Good morning. Now, believe it or not, today is a special day. You know why? Because it's my father's 92nd birthday. So let's greet him happy birthday, okay? But more than that, today is a special day because we are gathered here to worship the Lord. Amen? And I want to thank all of you for praying. You prayed for me. I arrived safely. I was in L.A., to start our CCF in L.A., headed by Pastor Danny Perez and Insong Nolan. Praise God. I visited our sister church also in San Francisco. I don't know if Butch Kabalu is here. There you are, Butch. So we have affiliations all over the states. And I visited my son, who is in New York. Thank you for your prayers. And I saw my granddaughter, and I met his pastor also. The pastor would like to learn more about how to develop disciples, a small group. So God is expanding our borders. Now tomorrow is a special day. You need to pray for the country. The president is going to give his sona. It's not sona, it's sona. Let's pray that it will inspire our people to love our country and to serve our country. If you are our guest, we have a special room dedicated for you. You see where I'm pointing? So if you are our guest, be there. We have coffee for you. And if you're hungry, we have one piece of cookie for you. Or maybe two pieces, three pieces. You need counseling, we have counselors. So I'm always excited to be back. Now before we begin, let's pray for Joanne, let's pray for our country, let's bow our heads. Father God in heaven, we thank you for allowing us to gather together. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the freedom that we enjoy in this country. We thank you for your power to transform lives. Thank you for Joanne, I pray for her, her family, and thank you for allowing her to serve full-time here in CCF, that you will use her. And we pray for our new president, that his desire to get rid of graft and corruption will become a reality. Will you help him choose good people? And we pray for the future of our country. Lord, this country has a lot of problems, but we thank you for the good things that we have, for the freedom to share the gospel, for the freedom to gather together, for the freedom to teach the Bible. Lord, it is our prayer that this country will truly be a Christian nation, that you will revive us and bring about economic revival, spiritual revival, that people will learn not just to love this country, but to enjoy this country. I thank you for all that you are doing. I thank you for the CCF Worship Center and building project that is upcoming, our new training center. We thank you for the money that has been coming. I pray you continue to touch the hearts of the people as they give willingly, as they give sacrificially, as they give voluntarily, that the resources will be abundant and that the building will be built in accordance to your design and schedule. We thank you for the architect. We thank you for the contractor. We just pray that your hand will be upon this project for your glory and for your honor. And I now pray for everybody here, for those who are struggling, for those who are having problems, that you will speak to all of us. We thank you for your goodness. And now, it is my prayer that you give all of us a humble heart to listen to your word, a heart that wants to learn from you, that will want to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, we will begin a new series. It's the book of Jonah. Let me ask you a question. If you hear the word Jonah, what enters your mind? The book of Jonah. Fish. Sounds fishy, huh? Well, let me tell you something about Jonah. The book of Jonah is a real story. It is not a myth. Jonah is a real person. For example, I want you to look at 2 Kings. Let's read that together, everybody. He, King Jeroboam, restored the border of Israel from the entrance of Hamath as far as the Sea of Araba, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was of Gath-Hepher. Jonah lived in Galilee. That's where Gath-Hepher is. Jonah was a real prophet. It's not a myth. Jesus talked about Jonah. For example, in the book of Matthew, let's read this together. He answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation crave for a sign. Yet no sign shall be given but the sign of Jonah the prophet. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monsters, so shall the Son of Man be there 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall stand up with this generation at the judgment, and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Behold, something greater than Jonah is here." Jonah is a real story. Many times people are out of focus. They focus on the fish. Now it doesn't matter what kind of fish that is. The Bible tells us God sent a big fish. But the story is more than about fish. The story is about God's love. The book of Jonah is a story of love. How God loves his people and how God loves the world. Now people ask me, why is this book important? Because most of us do not know the heart of God. You have to know, the book of Jonah is the illustration of John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world. John 3:16, if you want to understand what it's all about, look at the story of Jonah. The book of Jonah is an illustration of Matthew chapter 28. What is Matthew chapter 28? our mission, everybody, let me review. What's our mission? To go and make disciples of all nations. Jonah is an example of Matthew chapter 28. It is our core values. Some of you are new in CCF. You need to know our mission. Our mission is to make disciples of all people. Now, you have to know our core values. Our core values, one of them is love. Love God, love one another. Our core value is evangelism. So for you to understand this, we need to start with God. So are you ready to study the book of Jonah? Now, let me give you another reason why we are going to study this book. What is the mark of a mature Christian? Whisper to your neighbor. How do you know you are growing in the Lord? The mark of a spiritual Christian. Whisper to your neighbor. What is it? You know, for some people, they think it's Bible verses. They think it's knowledge. I submit to you. According to the Bible, according to the Apostle Paul, the most important is love. I don't know about you, I'm still learning how to love. I need to grow in the area of loving people. Loving God, loving people. Will you turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, grow in loving people. Grow. Yeah. Now, how do you love people? The Bible tells us, we love because He first loved us. So let us study the book of Jonah and see how God loves us. Now, in chapter 1, I'm going to tell you four important principles of how to love people. From chapter 1, how God loves us. Number 1, it begins with the word P. Proactive. Say that with me. Proactive. God's love is always proactive. The next P is about people. God loves people. And God's love is manifested through people. So say that with me, people. The next P is pursue. God's love is a pursuing kind of love. You will run away from Him, but He will pursue you. The next P is power. God's love is powerful. It will transform lives. So we will discuss God's incredible love. Say that with me, God's incredible love. So what's the first P? Proactive. God takes the initiative. What's the next P? God's love is about people. Imperfect people. Not perfect people. The next P? He pursues. He'll pursue you. The next one is power. Let's begin with God's love. How do you see that in the book of Jonah? Are you ready? Alright. I'll just ask you to stand up. Read 1 and 2 verses for me. Okay? Stand up. I've been standing the whole morning. So it's good if we practice. Now, let's read this verse together. Everybody, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come before me. Very simple. Jonah, go to Nineveh. Who asked God to tell Jonah to go to Nineveh? Who? Who asked God to tell Jonah to go to Nineveh? Answer? Just say, I don't know. No one. Who asked God to send Jesus to die on the cross? No one. God took the initiative. We don't deserve it, but God loves people. God is saying, I want to save the Ninevites. Thank you. Please be seated. So when I say proactive, that is exactly what is meant. God takes the initiative to love people who do not deserve His love. Now look at verse 1 again one more time. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come upon me. Notice, what can you learn about Nineveh? Let me tell you, Nineveh, as of that point in history, was the capital of Assyria. Now the Assyrians are wicked people. In fact, the Bible says their wickedness has come upon me. They were cruel. They killed. They loot. So God asked Jonah, you go to these kind of people. You know, I'm discovering something about the love of God. God loves all kinds of people, the good and the bad. For you and for me, we only love people that are like us. We have a tendency to love people who are just like you, just like me. You see, we have this provincial mindset. For Jonah, did he agree with God? Yes or no? How many of you have read the book of Jonah? Raise your hand. Okay. So many of you, how many of you have not read the book of Jonah? Raise your hand. Thank you for your honesty. You know, I'm happy when you're honest. And God is happy also. So my challenge to you. Have you read the book of Malachi? Yes, we finished that book. Remember? It was finished. These next few weeks, I will discuss with you the book of Jonah. So you begin reading it today. Read it. And then you, as you read it, you must ask yourself, who is God here? What can I learn about God? That's very important. So the first thing you learn about God is God loves people. He's proactive. He takes the initiative. Now let's look at Jonah. Let's see what happened to him, okay? So let's read now verse 3. Everybody read. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let me ask you, did Jonah go to Nineveh or did he not go? Why not? Remember I told you, Jonah was prejudiced, judgmental. And before you judge Jonah, I want you to think, those of you who are still strong and you were born already during the Japanese occupation, some of you have heard of the cruelty that happened to the Filipinos. Some of you were in China. You understand what they did to some Chinese in China. In the Philippines, I know somebody who was bayoneted because she was pregnant. The Japanese soldier wanted to kill her and the baby, so they stabbed her. She was on the ground, lying. 3 times, she survived. Amazing. Her family, including herself, hated the Japanese for many years. You must understand the mindset of Jonah. Perhaps Jonah's friends, perhaps his family members have been molested by the Assyrians. Perhaps they've been killed by the Assyrians. So when God tells Jonah, you go to Nineveh, Jonah said, you got to be joking. I'm not going to go there. Now let me ask you, is there somebody right now in your life that you don't really feel like talking to? Yes or no? That's your Nineveh. God is telling you, you go there. You tell that person, I love him. You show my love to that person. Now, where did Jonah go? Look at the Bible. The Bible tells us, Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, do you know where is Tarshish? I'm going to show you the map in a short while. But notice the expression, he went down to Joppa. Notice, Jonah lived in Galilee, the northern part of Israel. He went down to Joppa, then he went down to the boat. Notice the grammar used, down, down, down. In the few verses you will learn, he went down. You know why? When you are not following God, you are going down. Amazing. Let me show you the map. God asked Jonah to go where? Nineveh, Assyria, northeast. Where did Jonah go? West. Scholars tell us that ship can take as long as 1 year because Tarshish is famous for its riches. It's in Spain. It's a long way. Jonah wanted to flee from Nineveh, but actually he was running away from the Lord. Now, who is Jonah? If you think of Jonah, think of him not just an ordinary Christian. Jonah is like a minister. Jonah is like a pastor. Jonah was a prophet. Can you imagine a mature Christian running away from the will of God? Do you know in each one of us, there's a Jonah inside of us. God is telling you clearly, I want you to do this. Instead of singing, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. You know what we do? In the mouth, yes, yes, in the heart, no, no, no. Yes, 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 no, no, no. That's what we do. So before you judge Jonah, you ask yourself, are there situations in your life that God wants you to do something very clear? The word of the Lord came to Jonah, very clear. God speaks to us through his word. And that's why I ask you to read the Bible every day. It's now August. By the way, you have 5 months to go, 6 months to go, before you finish the entire Bible. Are you listening to me? You are to read the entire Bible this year, okay? Louder. Yes. Where are you now? Genesis, oh my goodness. Okay, no problem. But you know, it happened to me. I understand Jonah. Many years ago, somebody came to me and called me, Peter, can you share the Bible with this person? This person is sick. It was after martial law. There was a change of government. And that person was sick. In my heart, I don't want to go to that person. I told this person, please, ask somebody to share the Bible with this person. Can I tell you why? Because this person took advantage of our family. He took advantage of our business. And I did not like what he did. In my mind, for me to share the Bible with him, he might get saved. Just like Jonah. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. If you understand why, in chapter 4, which you will study, he gives us the reason. He did not want to go there. He said, Lord, I know if I go there, these people will repent. So, I said, look for somebody else. Now the Lord spoke to me. You know, God speaks to us in many ways. But it was very clear. The Lord said, if you don't go, you are disobeying me. Sakit no. You're disobeying me. And then secondly, the Lord said, if you don't go, you're a bad example. You're teaching Bible. And then number three, the Lord said, if you don't go, you cannot teach the book of Jonah for the rest of your life. How can I teach the book of Jonah if I don't follow what God is telling us? So the next morning, I called them. I said, okay, let's go. Taposin na natin. Now, I'll tell you from my heart. From the bottom of my heart, from the car up to the gate, up to the house, I really didn't feel like going. So I said, Lord, okay, Lord, I will share. But you don't have to save the person, okay? I will just share. But you know, something happened. When I entered the bedroom and I shook his hand, my heart melted. I discovered right there and there a divine principle. You obey first. The feeling will come later. If you wait for feelings, it will never come. And that's why many people are disobedient. Because you are deceived into thinking, well, I don't feel like it. If I don't feel it, I'm a hypocrite. On the contrary, the greatest hypocrite is knowing what you are supposed to do and you are not doing it. So I decided I will not follow my feeling. From that day onward, God taught me a lesson. You obey first. And then the power will be released. You know, when I shook his hand, I don't know how to explain this. Compassion, sympathy overwhelmed me. I felt sorry for this man. Some of you are running in the opposite direction. You are headed for Tarsus. You know why? Because you are following your feelings. The problem with feelings, it is never reliable. Now, what is Tarsus? What is Tarsus? Can I tell you what the Bible has to say about Tarsus? Here's what it says about Tarsus. Tarsus is symbolic of luxury, of pride. For example, the Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning against everyone who is proud and lofty, against all the ships of Tarsus, against all the beautiful crafts. Tarsus is symbolic of human self-will, self-sufficiency, pride. And God is saying, the ships of Tarsus will be destroyed. So every time you go against God because of your self-will, you are guilty of the sin of pride, sin of self-sufficiency, and God is saying, are you headed toward Tarsus today or are you headed toward Nineveh? The direction of your life is far more important. One thing I want you to learn something about God's love. He takes the initiative. He tells Jonah, you go to Nineveh. Jonah did not like to go, but God says, I love these people. You talk to them. Now, Jonah headed the opposite direction. Now, let me ask you, did God love Jonah? If you were God, what will you do with Jonah? Be honest with me. Here was a Christian leader running away from God. But this is the amazing thing about God's love. God loves people. Imperfect people, including his prophet, imperfect prophet. You know, in CCF, I want to tell you something. If you are our guest, CCF is made up of imperfect people. In fact, we don't allow perfect people to come to CCF. If you are perfect, you cannot come. You know why? Because we are all imperfect. We will contaminate you. So will you turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, you are imperfect, but I love you. You see, God loves people. What kind of people? Look at me. What kind of people? Now, do you know somebody who is perfect? God's love is directed towards imperfect people. But God uses people to love people. Notice, look at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to who? Jonah. Now, did God know that Jonah was going to run away from him? Yes or no? Did God use a monkey? Wouldn't that be more exciting? The word of the Lord came to a gorilla. Don't laugh. Is that possible? Do you know that God can make a donkey speak? Now, why did God use Jonah? Because God's love is always manifested through people. It takes people to tell people about God's love. Many of you prayed for my son. I want to thank you. When I asked my son, what have you been learning? You see, we got the shock of our lives when I received a text on Friday morning when my son, Paul, said, my blood platelets has gone down below 20,000. Now, normal is over 100,000, understand? It kept going down, going down, going down. Finally, on Thursday midnight, it went down. He said, I need blood transfusion. Now, I don't know about you, but I began to have tears in my eyes because I realized I love my son. And our neighbor just died because of dengue, remember? So I said, Lord, please take care of my son. So when I texted everyone to pray, I asked Paul, what did God teach you? You know what Paul told me? God's love. I said, what do you mean? Paul said, Dad, I experienced the love of God. I said, what do you mean? People came. People I do not know donated their blood. People that have never donated their blood, they were so scared to donate their blood, they donated their blood, they were willing to donate their blood. And then there was this cancer lady who came to see my son, and she told my son, you know what, I have cancer, I cannot donate to you my blood, but I want to let you know, I'm praying for you, and I'm giving you something. She gave my son a bottle of this herbal drinks. My son teared up. I teared up. You know why? Because God's love is manifested through his people. People don't see God. They don't see his love. But love is manifested through his people. You are God's instrument to show the world that he loves them. The first thing you need to realize is this. God's love is what? Proactive. Yes or no? He initiates. The next thing you need to learn is he loves people. And he wants you to share his love to people around you. Look at the testimony of Joan. Joan lived in a family that was hard. They were fighting. But God changed Joan. And then when God changed her, you see love manifested in the family. So will you turn to your neighbor one more time? Tell your neighbor, you are imperfect, but I love you. Now, some of you, I know how you say it, okay? You want to repeat. You are imperfect, 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 very, very imperfect, but I love you. That's okay. If you want to do that, it's okay. But listen to me. To love perfect people is never a problem. But God commands you, he commands me, go to Nineveh. Go to those people you don't like. Now, all of us, you have your Nineveh. Yes or no? So if I were you, if the people around you is about to fall asleep, would you just hit them? Gising na. Okay? God loves you. Understand? Where are you headed? Tarshish or Nineveh? What? You know what Jonah did? Jonah went to Tarshish. And by going to Tarshish, let's see what happened. Let's read this together. The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so the ship was about to break up. Now, why was there a storm? Now, look at the Bible. Look at the last verse of verse 3. Jonah went down to Joppa to look for a ship. I realize if you want to run away from God, you have all kinds of excuses to say it is God's will. You know why? He found a ship. Oh, you see? God's will. You can deceive yourself. And then, it's very expensive. You know what? Jonah had the money. He paid the fare. He paid the fare and went down to go to Tarshish. Oh, you see? God's will. So he went. There are many Christians today who are deceived. You're headed down Tarsus, and you think, okay, you know what's going to happen? God loves you. He will pursue you. And that's what happened. God sent a great wind, and there was a great storm. You know why? Why do we need storms at times? You like storms? How many of you like storms? Okay. You know what? I'm so glad 99.9% of you don't like storm, okay? But some do like storm. What about the storms of life? What are the storms of life? Trials. Yes. What kind of trials? Finance. Family problems. Yes or no? Health problems. Relationship problems. Perhaps some of you are going through some storms. I want to tell you something. Learn to see God in the midst of the storm. Learn to see the love of God. Can I tell you why? Let's look at the story of Jonah. Let's read together. The Lord hurled a great wind. Notice, the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea. There was a great storm. The ship was about to break up. The sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo, which was in the ship, into the sea to lighten up. But Jonah had gone below in the hold of the ship, lain down, and fallen sound asleep. What was Jonah doing? Just like many Christians, spiritually asleep, physically asleep. They don't even know what's happening. You know why? Because your conscience can be dead. You think it's okay. So God used storms. Why? To wake us up. I will not be surprised in a room this size. There are some of you here. You have headed in the wrong direction. You are headed for Tarsus, your comfort zone. God has been telling you, I want you to do this. Perhaps some of you, God is telling you, I want you to start a ministry. I want you to quit a relationship. I want you to join a D group. I don't know what God is asking you to do, but it's something very clear. But you refuse to do it. And you are headed in the opposite direction. And you think it's okay. You know what? You got a boat. You got the money to pay. And everything is going well for you. No, no. You may run away from God, but God is not going to run away from you. God loves you. He will pursue you. You know, God's love is different from our love. Our love is something like this. If people don't like you, if they do something against you, you speak up and you say, okay, I forgive you. After forgiving the person, in your mind, I will never want to see you again. Yes or no? That's human love. That's what you are capable of. But God is saying, no, no. God is saying, love your enemies. Do good to those who hurt you. And this is one of the hardest things CCFers need to learn. You need to grow in terms of loving people. The world out there is looking for love. They are hungry for love. But they will never know love until you model love in the family, in the church, among God's people. You got to learn to love people. Don't withdraw from people. They may have hurt you. They may have maligned you. Believe it or not, I've seen Christians in CCF. I've seen them. I've known them. And I try to help them. One will go on one side. The other one will go on the other side. They are praying that they will never meet in the same place. Okay? You know, in my mind, I will tell them, what if you become neighbors in heaven? Sige nga, paano kayo? So you know what they do? They transfer churches. That's not the way. You don't run. That's what we like to do. We like to run. And you are thinking by running, you are running away from God. No, sorry. God will send a storm. For what purpose? Let's continue reading. The captain approached him. How is it you are sleeping? Get up. Call on your God. Notice, the word God there is in small letter. Because all the sailors were praying to their gods. They prayed to their saints. Everybody has their own special saint, their own special God. They were all praying. And then the captain says, what about you? Get up. Continue reading. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish. Let me ask you, who is more spiritual? The pagan sailors or Jonah the prophet at this point? You know, the sailors were coming and attending Don Mutt's meeting. Every Tuesday from 6 to 7 they were praying. But the prophet, what was the prophet doing? Sleeping. What do you do on Tuesday morning? Sleeping. By the way, I encourage you. Why do we have this weekly prayer meeting? I call this spiritual boot camp. I like people. Those who are under my D12, I tell them, you come. Spiritual training. So that you learn the habit of getting up in the morning. 6 in the morning and punto. 7 o'clock, we are finished. You just come. Cry out to God. Pray. That's it. Now, if you cannot come, it's okay. You pray at home. But I suggest, don't sleep. Okay? Now, if you have never done it, you try. You try to come here for 1 month. And you open to God. You open up your heart to God. And then tell me what happens. And I'll guarantee you, you will never be the same. People who cry to God, okay, for 1 hour, you open your heart to the Lord, you will never be the same. But some of you have never done it. We are here to encourage you. What time? When? Tuesday. So, let's continue reading verse 7. Each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots so that we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on who? Jonah. In Tagalog, patay kang bata. You know, Jonah thought he could run away from God, okay? No, no. You know, some of you are here this morning, not by accident. God has been pursuing you because you're headed in the wrong direction. Jonah was asleep, but God used a storm. Let's continue reading. They said to him, "Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? What people are you?" If you were Jonah, what did you say? "What's your occupation?" "I am a prophet." "What? A prophet of God? I'm a pastor." "Uy, pastor? Anong ginagawa mo dito sa nightclub, huh?" I mean, Jonah was put on a spot. You know, he finally confessed. He said to them, "I am a Hebrew. And I fear the Lord God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land." The men became extremely frightened. They said to him, "How could you do this?" For the men knew he was fleeing from the presence of what? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. No longer small g. Finally, God used Jonah to say something about the true God. You know why they were afraid? Because in the past, they were praying to their tribal gods. This God, that God. But look at Jonah in verse 9. Jonah said, "The Lord God of heaven who made the sea and all the dry land." In other words, my God is the God. The God of the sea, the God of the land, the God of the whole world, the God of the whole heavens. When they heard this, wow, they got scared. Look. The men became extremely frightened because in the past they prayed to their small gods, just like some of us. You have never put your confidence in the one and only true God. And you know what happened? The men are more spiritual. They arrive at the conclusion. You know what they say? "How could you do this?" Have you ever heard of unbelievers saying things that are more spiritual than believers? You know, some believers are so dense. It's called educated beyond learning. You are so educated that you don't understand anymore. And there are many Christians today, I call them over Bible study. Not over. Too much Bible study. You know too much. That in the process, you don't know anything anymore. There are many Christians today. They've forgotten the simplicity of the Word of God. Love God. Love one another. Now let me ask you. You love people? If you are learning but you are not growing in the area of love, something's not right. So they asked Jonah, "How can you do such a thing? How can you run from the presence of the Lord? How? It's impossible." But you see, Jonah was doing it. You see, some Christians, you begin to act in such a way that it doesn't make sense. And that's why I praise God. I surround myself with a group of men. I surround myself with people who are willing to tell me what's right and what's wrong. They are not afraid of me. My family members are not also afraid of me. What about you? Do you have people around you who can tell you straight? And that's why I ask people, you join a small group. It is important that you be part of a small group. Don't become too proud to say, "I don't need a small group." It's not healthy. Be part of a accountability group. You know what the Bible tells us? Continue. They said to him, "What should we do that the sea may become calm?" The sea was becoming increasingly stormy. You know, I've learned something. God knows how to send the storm. He knows how to calibrate the storm in your life. Signal 2, signal 3. Matigas ang ulo mo? Sige, signal 4. In other words, when God sends the storm in your life, He knows just enough pressure. So you begin to listen. You know, look at the prophet. He said to them, pick me up. Throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm. For I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you. The prophet, listen. He finally connected the dots. He assumed responsibility. He stopped blaming others. He said, it is my fault. My friends, the key to turning around in your life, from Tarsus to Nineveh, you need to admit, I have sinned, I have made a mistake. Jonah did not blame the captain of the ship. He did not say, bo, 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 mo, mo. In English, you are really not smart. You should not have sailed in this direction because it's your fault we have this storm. No. Jonah did. The prophet did not blame the sailors. He did not blame the boat. He did not say because the boat is too small, that's why we have this problem. Who did he blame? It's me. When you have problems in your life, I suggest, don't look at others. You ask God to examine your heart. What's the cause of this problem? If you are so quick to point fingers at others, if you are so quick to blame others, you will never hear God's message for your life. You know why? The storm of life is there to wake us up, to let us see, my goodness, you are headed in the wrong direction. You got to learn to connect the dots of your life. The problems in your life many times is our own doing. But we like to blame others. Remember Joanna's testimony? She blamed her parents. She was saying, Lord, why was I born in a family like this? You see, it's so easy to blame parents. It's so easy to blame others. But God's love will pursue you. Because God's love is powerful. It will transform your heart. Jonah said, throw me into the water. You know, these people are pretty good. You know why? Look at verse 13. However, the men rowed desperately to return to the land, but they could not. The sea was becoming even stormier against them. You know why they don't want to throw Jonah into the water? See, pagans are good people. Sometimes we think the best people are inside the church, only inside CCF. Nothing is farther from the truth. There are many people out there who do not know the Lord. They are good people. The only problem is God is telling you, you go tell them that I died for them. I want to save them. Do you agree there are many people out there who are better? Yes or no? Look at these people. They're good people. The problem with Christians, we become judgmental. We become critical. We think everybody else, we think we're better than everybody else. That's why we become judgmental. Why? We don't drink. We don't smoke. We don't do this. We don't do that. That is not spirituality. God looks at the heart. And the heart can be greedy. The heart can be deceptive. The heart can be proud. The heart can be jealous. So don't look at others. Are you having any storms in your life right now? Perhaps. You got to analyze. Perhaps God is talking to you. Look at the heart of God. I love this. This is in my quiet time, so I'll give you a bonus. Okay, God spoke to me in this verse. You got to connect the dots of your life. This is the dot. Psalm 81. What is the dot? Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. The heart of God is we obey Him. We listen to Him. Notice what He promised. Everybody read. I would quickly subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. God is saying, I will intervene. I will help you. Notice the next verse. The contrast. Those who hate the Lord would pretend obedience to Him. You see, there are many people today pretending. You come to worship, you sing. I'm not judging you, understand? But God looks at the heart. God is saying, do you really love me? Or are you just pretending? But notice the heart of God. And their time of punishment will be forever. But I would feed you, everybody read this. But I would feed you with the finest of the wheat. With honey from the rock, I will satisfy you. You know, God is saying, I want to bless you. I love you. But you got to connect the dots. If you're having problem, ask yourself, why am I having problem? You know, the Bible is very clear why we have problems. Look at this verse, everybody. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, notice verse 2. What is the command? Consider it what? I'll be honest with you. When I heard my son was sick, was I joyful? I was not. But you see, you need to process. For every trial, you've got to learn to see God has a purpose. For me, God spoke to me. You know what was my problem? When I heard my son was sick, my trust was not in God. You know where was my faith? Tell you where was my faith. Tawa-tawas, kamote tops, papaya leaves. Everybody was telling me, no problem, give them papaya leaves. Give them kamote tops. Give them this tawa-tawa. Give them this Chinese medicine, that medicine. I was praying, but my praying was in the lips, not in the heart. So by Friday morning, I knew from Tuesday to Thursday, the blood vessels kept going down. My son told me, Dad, I have drunk gallons of kamote tops, gallons of papaya leaves. I have drunk all kinds of tawa-tawas, all kinds of, you know, herbs. You know, I said, Lord, I realized my faith was in this herbal mumbo-jumbo medicine. Now, the truth is everybody meant well, okay? It meant well. I'm not saying those are not good. But I'm just telling you what God taught me. And God taught me that CCF is a very loving church. That you guys will give your blood, even though you have never given your blood before, with fear and trembling. Dok, mamatay ba ako? Notice, consider it what? Pure joy. When you encounter trials. Are you having problems today? Yes or no? How many of you have problems? Raise your hand. How come we are the same? Now, all kinds of storms. You have storms in your life? Are you listening to God? You know, God knows how to calibrate the storm. Like when you're reading, they called on the Lord. They finally learned how to pray. The pagans finally prayed not to the small God, but to the Lord. Now, this is the Hebrew word for the name of God. The proper name of God. It is not even a title. The word Lord is the name. It is so sacred that the Pharisees would not even mention this word. They prayed to the God, to the real God. You know what was their prayer? Oh Lord, we earnestly pray. Do not let us perish on account of this man's life. Do not put innocent blood upon us. Oh Lord, you have done all of this because you are God. So they pick up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. You know what happened? You see the power of God? Because of God's love, the boat became a place of worship. The boat became a church. The pagan sailors became worshipers. Why? God's love is amazing. Now, what happened to Jonah? If you were Jonah, oh, what happened to Jonah? Where is Jonah right now? They threw him into the sea. Wow! What will you do if you were Jonah while you were being thrown? Remember, Jonah finally surrendered. Jonah said, it's my fault. I quit running away from God. Was God finished with Jonah? Do you think Jonah shouted when they threw him? Oh! What happened to Jonah? I don't know whether he shouted or not. But one thing I know. You know, the Bible tells us, the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord from the stomach of the fish. The first time you see Jonah praying was not in the boat. The first time you see him praying in the stomach of the fish. You know, can I tell you why? Because sometimes we are like Jonah. The storm of life is not yet enough. God has to send a fish. Some of us are so tough. Even though you're having problems already, you don't listen to God. You know, God is patient. God will pursue you and God is all powerful. He said, matigas ang ulo mo? Okay, let us send the storm. Make it harder. Okay. Matigas ang ulo mo? No problem. Make the storm bigger. Matigas ang ulo mo? Okay. Let's go to plan C. What's plan C? Calling, calling, fish. Calling, calling, fish. The fish came. Now, God gave the fish clear instruction. Swallow him, but don't chew him. So, Jonah was in the stomach of the fish. Now, I want you to imagine, okay? In the stomach of the fish. by this time, will you be thinking about God or not yet? I hope you're not that hard-hearted. I don't have anybody who can be in the stomach of the fish and not say, Lord, I surrender. Jonah, he prayed. For the first time, you see him praying. Now, I don't know where you are right now. In the storm, about to fall from the boat, or in the stomach of the fish. But God knows, he will pursue you. Now, if Jonah will still be very hard, what will God do? Maybe God will tell the fish, digest him. He'll become fertilizer. I don't know. But one thing I do know, God is very patient with me. God is gentle. In the midst of storm, you got to see the love of God. Some of you are running, and you've been running. And today God is speaking to you. Only one question. Where are you headed? Tarshish or Nineveh? Nineveh is the place where God wants you to be. Nineveh is the thing that God wants you to do. Tarshish is your self-will. It's your place of comfort. Where are you headed? I've discovered something. Because of God's power, out of love, God can use failure to glorify his name. When Jonah confessed his failure, he said, I've been running away from God. Because he confessed his mistakes, because he humbled himself, the Lord brought about a revival. Many of us are too proud to admit our mistake. We want to cover up. With God, nothing is impossible. If you're headed in the wrong direction, it's never too late to change direction. It's never too early to quit running. Don't wait for the storm to get stronger. You examine your heart. What is God asking you to do? Now, God knows the pressure. He can apply pressure in your loved ones, in your family, in your health. But God is doing that because he loves you. Once you reach that point, Lord, I surrender. Would you like to know what happens to Jonah after this? Okay, next week. I'll see you next week. Okay. In the meantime, where are you headed? Let's bow our heads. If you have never surrendered your life to the Lord, you have been running away from God, you have been indifferent, you don't care about the will of God, you are so comfortable with your life, you are sleeping. You are sleeping underneath the boat. You think everything's okay. Let me tell you something, it's not okay. If God has spoken to you today, don't keep running. Don't wait for the storm to get stronger. You get on your knees, you pray right now. You say, Lord, I've been running my own life. I want to change direction. Now, for those of you who are headed in the right direction, I want you to tell God to help you see people as God sees them. God is asking you to love them, to tell them that he loves them. So don't look at people, just people. You must see them with a loving heart. And there are many people today, right now, living around you, living around us, and God is saying, I love them. Will you love them? Will you pray privately right now? Speak to the Lord. Whatever God is asking you to do right now, will you commit your life to him? Some of you have never surrendered your life to Jesus. And you say, you know what? I realize God loves me. I want him to be my Savior. You pray this prayer with me as your heads are bowed down. Pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I've been running away from you. Or I really don't care about you. But I realize you love me. I realize you died on the cross. And you rose again from the dead on the third day. Lord, I realize you are the Savior. I'm willing to humble myself. I humble myself today. I surrender my life to you. Lord, I don't want to run anymore toward Tarshish. I want to move to Nineveh. I want to be where you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for pursuing me. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And now, Lord Jesus, help me to have a heart of compassion so that the people around me today will hear, will know that you're a God of love through my example, through my life. Lord, I'm imperfect. Teach me to learn to love like Jesus, to learn to love like you, to love those people that are not lovable, to love imperfect people. And Lord Jesus, will you give me the power to love and not be deceived by my own self-will? In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen.